Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, describes the qualifications of devotion and performing devotional service. This chapter speaks about jnana and vairagya. Again, as Rupa Goswami spoke about these things in the beginning, he's speaking about them again and their relationship with devotional service. Prabhupada begins the chapter by saying, some scholars recommend that knowledge, that means knowledge that one is a spirit, aham brahmasmi, and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service, that they're required, that one needs knowledge. And actually the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita speak about devotional service as a step on the top step on the yoga ladder. If you use the analogy of the ladder, the yoga ladder, it would seem that first you have to take all the steps to get to the top step. But actually, Prabhupada explains, that is not a fact. One can take to bhakti without anything else. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning, but ultimately they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing more other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. So there is no prerequisite for devotional service other than devotional service itself. Bhakti only comes from bhakti. Gyan, vairagya, they cannot bring bhakti. Bhakti is independent, swatantra, it is dependent, and it has nothing to do with gyan and vairagya. Only indirectly and incidentally. Bhakti in and of itself is descending from the spiritual world. It is Krishna's internal energy. It is Krishna's internal energy. It has nothing to do with jnana, which is born of the mode of goodness, and vairagya, which is the detachment from those things of the material world. Detachment from those things of the material world means it is connected, it is an aversion to the material world. So it has something to do with the material world, but bhakti has nothing to do with the material world. So in the beginning, so much of our preaching is as if vairagya was very important. When we preach to someone, we tell them such good news, like you're going to die, and your body's going to get sick, and your wife's going to die, and your children are going to die, and your mother's going to die, and your father's going to die. And whatever you have collected in this world that is temporary, you're going to have to leave it behind. This is not actually the preaching of bhakti. Actually, it's the preaching of tyag, renunciation. And we emphasize that often in the beginning. You're not this body. This body, it is just stool and mucus and bones. They like that preaching in Russia? Yeah, it's nice. But this actually has nothing to do with bhakti. Bhakti is devotional service to Krishna. We preach using the techniques of the jnanis. This type of preaching is necessary in the beginning. It is like cutting down the forest, the weeds in the forest, because as long as one is attached to material things, especially the body and the things of the body, materna krishne paritaksvatova mito vipadyeta griha vratana madanta gobhya vishatata mizram punas punacharvati charvananam. As long as one is attached to those things of the material world and has taken griha vrata, I am going to enjoy my life with my family members. As long as one is holding something tightly in his hand, and he's so attached to holding it tightly, what else can he pick up with that hand? He cannot pick up anything else with that hand. So we have to preach in such a way that he's inclined to put those things down, so he has hand is free to pick up something else. So we have to preach, this is a body, horrible, this and that, so that people become a little detached so they can take up the positive Krishna consciousness. But otherwise, actually, bhakti has nothing to do with these things. If one takes up bhakti, those things automatically occur. One automatically gets knowledge. Jnanam. Ahaituki. Vasudev Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita. Jnanayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayar Ahaituka. It happens automatically. It is a byproduct of bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent upon it. But just to clear the field, just like if you have some a forest that you wanted to plant some nice crops in, first you have to clear that forest before you can plant the crops. But the clearing doesn't have anything actually in fact to do with the planting of the crops. It is just preparation. It is not what you are actually trying to do. So similarly, in this way, bhakti has nothing to do with anything else. It is coming from the spiritual world, has nothing to do with the material world. It is dependent upon nothing other than one's desire to serve Krishna. That sentiment, that sincerity is what bhakti is made out of. So it is opposite to the opinion of some learned scholars is the opinion of expert devotees that mental speculation, meaning jnana, and the artificial austerities of yoga practice may be favorable for becoming liberated from material contamination. In other words, what is liberated? This is that negative concept again, removing the dirt from the heart, getting out of prison, getting free from the negative material things. But bhakti is something positive. So getting free doesn't have anything to do with what you'll do when you're free. So these things may be helpful for liberation, but they are not helpful for Krishna consciousness. And practically speaking, if someone hears in his first years in Krishna consciousness, or so much years of Krishna consciousness, and he hears about how you have to become detached from everything, you have to be detached from your family, you have to be detached from this, and you have to be detached from your body, and you have to be detached from this and detached from that, it is actually not favorable for devotional service, because to be like that, your heart has to become hard and callous. So as Prabhupada explains here, these things will also make one's heart harder and harder and harder and harder. So it is a very, very fine line. On one hand, we know that the material world and the relationships in the material world are illusory, and we don't want to get very much entangled in them. But if we become completely callous, like the Mayavadis say that the material world is illusion. So if someone gets hit by a car and he's lying in the road, bleeding, we'll think, oh, this is illusion. His suffering is illusion, my seeing it is illusion, the pain he is feeling, the blood is coming from illusion, therefore you can just walk by it and not care. But that is not actually the mood of a devotee at all. He doesn't say it's illusion in the sense that it's mithya, it doesn't exist. No, he says it's an illusion in the sense that it's temporary, and therefore we don't take it completely seriously. We take it in one sense with a grain of salt. That's an English idiom. You take it with a grain of salt. It is there, a grain of salt, but it doesn't have all value. It is only a grain of salt. So we see that the sufferings of the material world are real. They're there. But it is not that we base our life on getting free from suffering and obtaining enjoyment. No, we accept that they are real, not like the Mayavadis who say they are illusion. And if you try to make your heart very callous to everything, others' suffering, it's very bad for devotion. You will become hard-hearted. So Prabhupada was seeing the people, the starving people of Bengal, scouring through the garbage, and he began to cry, looking for some food in Mayapur, and he began to cry. We have to feed them, he said, but prasadam. So the Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He actually feels for the suffering of others. The true Vaishnava feels more than we can imagine. He feels so much pain, but he doesn't get sentimental. And the man is dreaming, and he's dreaming that he has that a tiger is eating him. So he doesn't enter the dream and take out a gun and shoot the tiger. Don't worry, I'm coming in your dream. I'll get rid of the tiger. Don't worry. No. He wakes the person up and gives him his real life, awakens him to his real life. So a devotee does not. There's a fine line in this between sentimentality and callousness. So with knowledge, he steers that on that, and he stays on that fine line. Is this point clear? Just like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. His parents were who? Excuse me. Yes.
Tapan Mishra.
Yes. Tapan Mishra. So he visited Mahaprabhu, and what did Mahaprabhu tell him when he visited him in Jagannath Puri?
That he should take care about his parents because they are devotees.
Yes, okay. So Raghunath Bhatta could have said, but anyway, everyone is ultimately a devotee in their spirit souls, and I don't have anything to do with them ultimately. I've had so many parents. But that is the wrong sentiment for a Vaishnava. We naturally feel for our affection for our parents. Naturally, it's natural. If we don't feel affection for our parents, it's unnatural. But because we feel affection for our parents, we should fall in Maya and ruin our lives and their lives too? No. We feel affection for the parents, and we bring that to the perfection of doing the best things for them, of becoming Krishna consciousness and very intelligently helping them become Krishna consciousness. Or if they're averse to Krishna consciousness, we know that by becoming devotees, we are still helping them. So hardness of the heart, because Krishna consciousness is soft. It means softness of the heart. It means softness of the heart. That's how Bhava Bhakti is described in that way. It is the softness of the heart, mazrin. But still, some callousness is needed. In the beginning especially, otherwise we become too sentimental and we can't break away from our friends and our business and our family, etc. So in the beginning, to get a foothold in Krishna consciousness is necessary. And a lot of our preaching is on this level. This is nonsense, this is Maya, this is nonsense, this is nonsense, this is nonsense. But Krishna consciousness is a lot more than everything is nonsense. And everything is offensive, and everything is... No, Krishna consciousness is all positive, actually. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause and effect of all that be. And to approach Him, the Absolute, the process of devotional service, which is also Absolute, has to be adopted. That means that this process is descending. It has nothing to do with the material world. Even the seed, we've defined the seed of devotional service as Shraddha, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has defined it. And also it can be defined as the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness also. That this is also devotional service. It's also descending. So this is all absolute, and therefore it shouldn't be tampered with. One old devotee got into so much trouble in his Krishna consciousness, Kirtananda, because thinking that the means of devotional service was just Indian. It was Indian or Hindu in some way. Could you tell him that he can't bang now out there? He can move over and do it maybe. So he tried to change everything. This wasn't the root of the problem. But you can't. You can't change the process of devotional service. It is absolute, as Krishna is absolute. It is descending. It is Krishna's internal energy. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. One can understand me only through devotional service. In beginning His teachings of the Gita, the Lord said to Arjuna, "Because you are my devotee, I shall teach these secrets to you." Vedic knowledge means ultimately to understand the Supreme Lord, and the process of entering into His kingdom is devotional service. That is accepted by all authentic scriptures. Mental speculators neglect the process of devotional service, and by simply trying to defeat others in philosophical research, they fail to develop the ecstasy of devotion. So it means devotional service means that Krishna is giving everything. It is His mercy, the mercy of His internal energy. It is very, very deep. Understanding this is very deep. Page 114. Krishna instructs Uddhava, "My dear friend, the prophets derive, these devotees have everything at their disposal, but they desire nothing outside of my devotional service. If ever a devotee should desire some material profit, like promotion to the heavenly planets, or some spiritual profit to go to Vaikuntha, by my causeless mercy his desires are easily fulfilled." So what do you want? You can have it all in devotional service. But the best thing is to just want to serve Krishna, and Krishna, the servant of servant of. Because we think, the devotee thinks, "I have no ability to give Krishna pleasure by my service. So therefore, because I am not qualified. But if I can serve those who have the ability to give Krishna pleasure, or the servants of the servants of the servants, just let me be engaged somehow or another in Krishna's service. Then I will be serving Krishna." And then Krishna, when the devotee has that mood, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayoa, Dasa Dasa and Das, when he has that mood, Krishna actually, after some time, will engage him directly. But we should see that what quality can I possibly develop to give Krishna pleasure? He has Sudam, Sridam, Subal, Stoka Krishna, Raktak. He has so many friends and so many gopi friends. What can I do? even on the spiritual platform, he's already happy. These devotees, these exalted personages, personalities, have already completely satisfied Krishna. What can I add? Let me just become their servant. It takes a lot to actually understand this and accept it. That's like sometimes when we want to fire up the devotees in book distribution, we say, "Who's going to become the number one book distributor? Who's going to become?" And everyone, you know, strives to become number one book distributor, like that. And it's nice because the devotees need to become enthusiastic and encouraged in that way. But if we want to become the number one servant and we need that type of encouragement, well, what will we do? We will push Srimati Radharani out of the way and try to defeat her? Or Lalita and Vishaka? If we need that kind of encouragement, there is only a limit to how far we can progress. So at some point it will hit us, and it's very, very heavy, what does it mean to become an insignificant servant? And it's heavy. But this is Krishna consciousness. Now, this is actual knowledge, and this mood of humbly engaging in the service of Guru Vaishnavas, Guru Parampara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the way back like that, this is actually really knowledge. And knowledge about who we are serving, this is really knowledge, having nothing to do with the knowledge that Krishna consciousness is not dependent upon. This knowledge is Krishna consciousness. Knowledge about Krishna is Krishna consciousness. It is Krishna's internal energy. It is the Bhagavatam. It is the writings of the Goswamis. And similarly, what is detachment in this world? So we've, in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, and here also, Rupa Goswami is describing how devotional service is not dependent on detachment and knowledge. But here, what now we should understand what type of knowledge and what type of detachment is real and is the internal energy. So now Prabhupada, or Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, are explaining on page 114 what is real renunciation. One should not be attached to material sense enjoyment, but should accept everything enjoyable which is in relationship to Krishna. For example, eating is necessary, and one wants some palatable dishes to satisfy his sense of taste. So in that case, for the satisfaction of Krishna, rather than for the satisfaction of the tongue, some palatable dishes may be prepared and offered to Krishna. Then it is renunciation. That is renunciation. Let the palatable dishes be prepared, but unless they are offered to Krishna, one should not accept them for eating. This vow of rejecting anything which is not offered to Krishna is actually renunciation. And by such renunciation, one is able to satisfy the demands of the senses. So, Prabhupada is turning around the typical vairagi definition of renunciation and putting it exactly into its correct perspective. Once, I never heard Prabhupada directly said this, but it was famous, that there's, I may have mentioned this before, that there's a picture of Ramakrishna. When someone is offering money, and there's lots of people in India like this. If you give them money, they won't touch it in their hand because money is too contaminated. So they'll only accept it like this, with their cloth. Has anyone ever seen this? Yes, you have seen it in the South. They do this. They won't touch it. It's too contaminated. But they'll go like this. And put it in there. And so Ramakrishna had, there's a picture of him, someone's money, and he's pushing it away like this. Did I mention this at some point? And then Prabhupada said that you should take my picture. Someone is giving me money and I'm going like this, more, not enough, I want more. So what is renunciation mean? Renunciation, how could we renounce something that's not ours? So if Vlada comes into my room and says, Birijan Prabhu, to tell you how renounced I am, I am leaving your room and I'm not taking your computer with me. This is how renounced I am. I say, thank you very much. That's not renounced. It's not even yours. How can you renounce something that's not yours? Because Amit isn't here. I can't tease him. And since you're taking over some of his services, I have to tease him. Part of your service. How ridiculous! Renouncing something that's not yours. I'm renounced from your watch and your karacha and your pen and the money that you have and this and that and this and that. I'm renounced from all these things. How ridiculous! We all smile because we know that it's easy to renounce something that's not yours. That's not renunciation at all. The problem is with the things that you think are yours to renounce them. But in this world, nothing is ours and everything belongs to Krishna. Bina prakritam astadam. Kamano buddha eva cha. Bhumi rapona lo vayu. Kamano buddha eva cha. everything from the air to the microphone. And Prabhupada used to give the example of the microphone all the time here too. That we should use these things in Krishna's service because everything is Krishna's. The intelligence that it took someone to make a Sony professional mic tape recorder, the intelligence for the watch, the intelligence for the plane, everything comes from Krishna. The ingredients, everything is Krishna's. So therefore, real renunciation, yukta vairagya, nirbandha Krishna sambandha, yukta vairagya uchate, means to use everything in Krishna's service because he owns everything and use it with detachment. So therefore, Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. That means that everything should be used in Krishna's service because it is Krishna's. That is renunciation. And that principle is the gift of Srila Rupa Goswami. Now who knows that verse? Anashaktasya vishayan yatartan upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya uchate. That verse should be memorized by everyone. This is our utility is the principle. Should I ask it on the test tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Why? If I tell you I'm going to ask it, what's the quote? It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere. It's in the verse book, I'm sure. It's in Bhagavad Gita. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchate. But you should memorize this verse. Did I say I was going to ask it on the test?
No.
I didn't say that. But you should know this verse. It will be very helpful to you in your life if you know this verse and the deep meaning behind it. Am I going to ask it on the test?
No.
You say no? You say yes. You don't know. I also don't know. I'll find out. Now, keep in mind though, what's very, very important to understand is that utility is the principle, but it has to be with detachment. So therefore, not only is utility the principle, but purity is the force. If you try to make utility the principle without purity being the force, in other words, if people in the name of using everything in Krishna's service start to use things in their own service of their sense gratification, then everything is ruined. So utility is the principle, purity is the force, and preaching is the essence. Without preaching being the essence, there is no need for utility being the principle. And because we tend to be attached to all these things, this material things, because we have the preaching movement, Prabhupada's movement is so huge and so powerful that we can use everything in the service of the movement. But there must be purity. And it must be based on what? Books. Because the purity doesn't come from our speculation and our good ideas. Book distribution and book studying, both. Not only distribution and not only studying, both. I heard Prabhupada say two times, my only criticism of the devotees is that they think the books are for distribution and not for reading. It is distribution of knowledge. We should be eager to take this knowledge and we should distribute it. Become generous and have Krishna consciousness expand in our heart for the distribution of books and transcendental knowledge. So anashaktasya vishayan. Anashaktasya. What does a shakti mean? In one of the stages. That's another verse that really should be memorized, although we didn't talk about it.
Attachment.
So anashaktasya means without attachment. So to use things in Krishna's service without personal attachment, that is real renunciation. And what is the opposite? Who knows the name, the Sanskrit term for the opposite of real renunciation, of this yukta vairagya? Wait a minute, yeah, I was looking at you, I wanted to call on you, yeah. Falgu vairagya, what does that mean?
It comes from that river known as Falgu.
Yes.
Which is actually a river going underground. Existing, it is covered by
sand. False. Fagu means false renunciation because there is a river Sometimes this happens, often even. A river, there's a riverbed, and the river runs underneath, and on top there's sand. So if people renounce falsely, just I give up everything, on the surface there is sand, but the river of material desire is running beneath. You can be sure of that. It is a great term and a great understanding. So this is what happens to the so-called renunciates, because they don't have the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti. So the river of desire for material enjoyment will be running underneath. It is impossible to stop this river, practically speaking. Because desiring is the very nature of the living entity. If we cannot desire Krishna, we have to suppress desire. And it doesn't work. The river will, we may cover it, but the river will run underneath. So it behooves us to get the higher taste in Krishna consciousness. It's important. But we can't be so greedy that we don't follow the process. That is foolish. Follow the process, patience, conviction, determination, etc. We follow and we will attain. So Prabhupada has spent so much of this explaining these points about we can accept everything, typewriters, dictaphones, etc. Everything can be used in Krishna service.
You have to follow the process, these procedures, the tasks. So, to what extent, how are we going to know that, how, to what extent we should apply this callousness in the beginning?
Well, you need, in different times and in different parts of the movement, sometimes it was applied in different ways. Sometimes the devotees would be completely, they would cut themselves off from their parents and things like that. And other times devotees didn't do that. So you have, it has to be under superior guidance, because a beginner doesn't know how much he should do it. So there has to be some higher experienced shastric intelligence behind him, give him some hints of how to deal in the proper circumstance, how to deal properly. Then there are other, on page 116, there's a point that Prabhupada's making that's important. The spiritual master must never be carried away. And that's actually being continued from 115. By an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. In other words, if you have a lot of money, or not only a spiritual master, anyone who has a lot of money, and they think that they'll just hire people, they'll get a set of deities and hire a priest, and therefore they'll be doing devotional service by having them, the priest worship the deities by their money. And then you get someone to, you buy the vegetables, you have your servant go buy the vegetables, you have your cook cook the vegetables, you have your priest offer it, and your only seva is prasadam seva at the end. But all those other things, they're not actually devotional service. You don't get the credit for devotional service. When you just use your money to do devotional service, that is not actual performance of the angas of devotional service. But for a spiritual master, he can't, his business is preaching. So he may start some temples and he may have his disciples perform so many of the angas of the sadhana bhakti. So this injunction here is so that to the spiritual masters that they be careful and make sure that they continue, if they are not doing the temple type of sadhana bhakti, they have to do the others of hearing and chanting. And smaranam Krishna, shravanam kirtanam Krishna smaranam. Is that clear? Not to do everything. Don't have your followers hear for you and chant for you and read the books for you and distribute the books for you and write the books for you and worship the deities for you. And And then again, you should have them eat for you too. Eat the basana for you. No. No, this is a warning to the spiritual masters and following the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. That if they cannot do all the, because if due to their responsibilities as spiritual master, they cannot do all the angas of bhakti, they should make sure they perform the main angas of hearing and chanting, etc. And therefore carry on. Other points, that there is no need for any other purificatory processes other than bhakti. Everything will naturally happen if one performs uttama bhakti. And all good qualities will naturally come. It is not that performing devotional service brings good qualities in someone, but those good qualities, like the association of the devotees so much, they come and take shelter of the devotees. That's how one of the acharyas have explained. But we see naturally they are there, and when the impurities of good qualities are there, naturally when impurities are removed, the good qualities manifest. And then Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even if you perform one of the angas of devotional service fully, you'll get the full result. Or the 9, or 8, or 7, or 6. This is how powerful the different angas of devotional service are. And then finally, the last three lines, Sri Rupa Goswami says that the regulative principles of devotional service are sometimes described by authorities as the path of serving the Lord in opulence and veneration. And that is called Marjarda Marg. M-A-R-Y-A-D-A. This term comes up sometimes in India. Maryada or Marjada Marg. The path of opulence. This is serving the Lord in the path of opulence. And the Balavacharjas use this. Followers of Balavacharja. They also call them our Pusti Marg, which comes later. M-A-R-Y-A-D-A. Huh? The last three lines of page 118. Right, the last three lines in this chapter. Maryada Marg, the path of opulence and veneration. Okay, any questions? I tried to go a little quicker. So we have a little time if there are any questions to do with anything about the test. As long as they're not, are you going to ask this and are you going to ask that? Yeah.
We don't know who said that Bhagavatam is real knowledge. But so is Bhagavad Gita Gyan or also that?
Bhakti. But Bhagavatam is graduate. And the Bhagavad Gita contains what it does, it ties together all the philosophical systems and show how they, and all the systems of advancement of jnana, yoga, karma, and show how they ultimately lead to bhakti. And also the middle six chapters, they speak directly about Krishna. And the last six chapters, or five chapters, speak about jnana, all the knowledge that's necessary to bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. So things that are used in Krishna's service, they're spoken by Krishna, of course. And actually bhakti is in, Prabhupada shows how bhakti is in practically every verse, every philosophical point. Krishna is actually bringing it to the point of bhakti. Prabhupada shows that in his purport. So it's bhakti.
No.
You certainly can't force yourself into the realm of bhakti. But when devotees perform those vows, it is not to force themselves into the realm of bhakti, it's to attract the attention of Krishna. Just like it's explained that there is one Chandrakanti who danced all night in front of the deities to attract the attention. That will be explained later on a higher level. Are you familiar with that reference? So she attracted Krishna's attention. So there's a subtlety in the mood, difference in the mood, so we shouldn't have that first mood that you're suggesting. You can't force one's way into bhakti. Bhakti is independent. But if we have the right mood of service to spiritual master, the serving mood, etc., with Krishna in the center for Krishna's pleasure, acting for Krishna's pleasure, that may attract the attention. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. Does that answer you? Any questions?
So, you really question that if someone makes a vow, he's to attract Krishna, but what they don't feel that, although I don't have the ability to attract Krishna, I still am very interested that he may be pleased.
That he may be pleased, that my guru will be pleased, that I am trying to become detached from material life, I'm trying to become attached to serving you and your katha, Krishna katha, and your holy names. So please, by your mercy, if you will give me your mercy, then that attachment will actually blossom in my heart. If you don't give me your mercy, then all my vows. There's Sri Rupa Mandari Pada, Se Mora Sampada, Se Mora Bhajana Pujana, Se Mora Tapa Vrata, you know that those parts. You are the purpose of my tapa and my vrata, to attain your shelter. So Rupa Goswami is saying that, or rather Narottama Thakur is saying that, Mahasaya Thakur Mahasaya. Ikadasi vrata. So it isn't done in the mood that the yogis and the jnanis do tapasya. It should make our hearts softer, not harder. Should bring tears to our eyes, seeing our own lack and inability, that we have no devotion and we are so dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But we are trying in our feeble way.
Only one thing is needed.
But there's a, but again, there's a Krishna conscious jnana and Krishna conscious vairagya, yukta vairagya and Krishna jnana. I don't know if there's any word Krishna jnana.
Does it mean that ultimately the devotee becomes sincere or he is sincere? Does it mean some initiation of jnana?
No. But if someone is sincere, why will someone avoid initiation? That's not the mark of a sincere person. I am sincere, I don't need the shelter of Krishna's devotee. It's the mark of an insincere person. But ultimately, the holy name is not even dependent on initiation. But if one taking that tries to avoid initiation, he will not make advancement. Any other questions?
Amongst these 64 angas of which we speak last days, it seems that some are repeated a few times, though this is stressing that this is...
Like what? Some of them, and there are subtle differences.
Like
too.
Hearing, like, who is this? Hearing revealed scripture...
And hearing Bhagavatam.
Similarities,
but there are subtle differences. Mostly I think it's that. But when repetition is there, whenever we find repetition in Shastra, we should see it as for emphasis.
what means serving the Lord opulently.
With opulence, what does that mean? Means giving him. Giving him opulent things, many things, more and opulent and better, and etc., etc. And this is how we worship the Lord, because we need to give it to Him, unless otherwise we'll take it for ourselves. But Krishna ultimately wants bhakti, not the opulence. But we should give Krishna opulence, because it's His.